day, O God, the giver of life, the giver of every good thing, the one in whom we live, in whom we move, and in whom we have our being. We ask, O God, that you shower upon us grace, grace that will give us the capacity to fully apprehend those things that you are offering unto us in this season. Grant, O God, that the deep work of your Spirit will be done in our hearts, deep enough to take us through the valley of the shadow of death, and still see the comfort of your rod and your staff. Thank you. I thank you always. In your mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. To the book of Acts of the Apostles quickly. We are still talking about power. Power. In Acts chapter 2, are you there? Acts chapter 2 from verse 29 to verse 33. I want to bring something out. Acts chapter 2 from verse 29 to verse 33. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead. Now, you people are disturbing. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. I'm doing well with this. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Throne. There's a throne there. And seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul will not be left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. Wherefore, being by the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth, which ye now see and hear. Now, this is Peter's explanation for the day of Pentecost. I will come back to verse 33, which is my emphasis, when I've taken you to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms unveils it more graphically. And if we don't see the perspective that is captured accurately in the heavenlies, there are many things you'll not understand about the workings, the administration of the kingdom of God. All right? So my emphasis is verse 33, but we need to go to the book of Psalms to build a muscle around it. Psalms 110. Are you there in Psalms 110? Okay, we'll begin from verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. I think that we can't take more than that this morning. Now, Psalms 110, are you here? Psalms 110 shows us a heavenly vision that David had. This heavenly vision that David had was pertaining to the activities that took place in the throne room. There are very few believers on earth that have throne room encounters. In fact, there is an extent to which someone that has the gift of prophecy can prophesy. In fact, someone that just has the gift of prophecy can be wrong sometimes if he doesn't have throne room encounters. You see, in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of a scenario where the king of Israel was about to go to war, and he wanted to seek the counsel of God. And prophets came. The Bible didn't call them false prophets. The guys were prophets. And they were prophesying and said that the king was going to have a good day on the battlefield. Then the king of Judah requested if there was any other prophet around. Sir, Micaiah. Well, he doesn't say positive things. His utterances are not good. The king of Judah insisted that he be brought. And when they brought him, because he knows the disposition of the king about his prophetic ministry, he prophesied along with the other ones. And the king knew he was just trying to patronize him. So the king now said, he should say the truth. Then he unveiled a throne room encounter scenario. You see, that shows that there are two levels in the prophetic. People that just prophesy and people that have throne room encounters. And it was from the throne room encounter that Micaiah had that he was able to understand that a lying spirit had gone out from the presence of the Lord to deceive the prophets, to make the prophets prophesy what will snare the king. You see, because these guys were prophets, they could pick things from the spirit. It will take, there are times where you can even pick things from deceiving spirits if you are just a prophetic person and you know how to pick things. It's just like a transistor radio. You can pick from 96.5, you can pick from 97.0. But if you are going to be accurate, you need to go beyond picking things from the spirit to having true womb encounters. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. For those of you that have Strong's satellite at home, Strong's, you know Strong's? So you are able to watch a wide range of African preachers. And so when you check preachers that are from Zimbabwe, preachers that are from South Africa, you find that most of them do something like prophecy. They say, you. The way you know a genuine minister is not by ability, just like we said yesterday. You know a genuine minister by his ability to unveil Christ. Yes. Unveil the realities of Christ. If you check those guys, those Zimbabwe people prophesying, have you heard them preach the scriptures, teach the scriptures? There is no substance. When you find a man whose revelatory capacity in terms of gifts is more than his capacity in the world, he's fake. Because the gifts come to bring credence to the word of God. If you hear the prayer of a man, you will know his depth in the spirit. You know, many people think T.B. Joshua is a man of God. No, just hear his prayer. Meanwhile, I don't have time for that Bible study to show you how to detect false prophetic movement. I don't have time. But our generation is at great risk. And the reason is because our discernment level is low. And we can no longer decipher between prophetic experiences and throne room experiences. If you are a genuine prophet of God, God will not only use you to speak for Him. God will encounter you. He will reveal Himself to you. So the authority from whence you speak for Him is tied to the encounters of His reality that you have captured. I went to Ghana. When I landed at the airport and they picked me, the guys that invited me wanted to educate me about the terrain. And they said, "These guys in this place are used to prophetic stuff. That I should switch off my teaching stuff. It won't sell here. I should switch on the prophetic dimension because that's what the terrain is about." So I told the guy, "I'm going to switch off the prophetic totally and switch on teaching. If I am wrong at the end of the service, you will let me know. Then we'll start it." And in the teaching, we began to analyze what makes a prophetic activity accurate and inaccurate. We did that for 2 hours. These were people that they said they don't... What I did was that I unveiled my own encounter in the throne room. The things I have learned that cannot be taught. Because that is a proof of my ranking. Then when I saw that they were not liking it, I caught it. I caught the station. Then I now started doing that prophetic that they said that. They were doing me like this. Meanwhile, they were the ones that advised me that I should. So it is possible for you to be telling people their name, and what you are unveiling does not reveal anything from the throne. You are still picking frequencies, and you can be wrong. You understand that? Because by the time God is taking you to that throne room level, He will give you a capacity, an installment in your spirit called discernment. It's only when you have that discernment that you can test frequencies and know that even though this is a transmission, it's not from the throne room. It was when I went to the throne room, one of the things I saw were musical instruments I've not seen in real life. And I heard sound from them. So that's when I started preaching with sound. Because if you are striking the right chord, I can begin to hear utterance from the throne room. It is by that authority that I use sound, not because I'm American. And so in the book of Psalms 110, from verse 1, David was trying to reveal to us his throne room encounters. And these encounters were deep encounters. Because the scenario that he captured in the throne room was a conversation that went on between the Father and the Son. And if you are a Bible student, you'll be able to actually pick up the actual scenario that was captured within the visual environment. So the Father said to the Son, "Sit down at my right hand Did you follow the readings we did in the book of Acts? We didn't follow. There's a throne there. So when Jesus finished his work of redemption, when he ascended into the heavens, he was assigned to a throne, a portfolio, a ministry in the spirit. It seems I've not taught some things here. The shape of the spirit realm. One of the things that is in the realm is that it's a realm, it's a kingdom of king and kings. Because of that, there are many thrones. So we know a man by the throne he occupies. And if you occupy a throne, there'll be evidences to show. And I'm going to show you all of that as we progress in our Bible study. I just want you to understand that power doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's a reason for it. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. And I need to explain all of that so that you have an accurate perspective. At the end of the day, maybe during the evening service, when we begin to pray, you can pray accurately. When you are deployed somewhere, your NYSC, you are deployed to a locality, a remote place where the civilization of darkness is intense. There are some things you can do. I will make demands on the powers of heaven. Things that you can do that God will use you beyond what you thought was possible. And anywhere you find yourself, this is the kind of lifestyle that we need to sustain. However, I need to show you the background and the engineering of these realities. Now, see, when Jesus came back to heaven, the Father told him, "You sit at my right hand." The right hand there is not this side. It's kingdom terminology. You know, Benjamin means the son of what? Of my right hand. It doesn't mean that Benjamin had a throne, a seat by the side. When we say someone is the functionary by the right hand, we are saying that it is unto him that administration is committed. The center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. The center of the administration of God is the throne of God. And that's why in the book of Revelation, you find out in Revelation chapter 4, when John received a summon to come into the heavens, to partake of heavenly court sessions, the first place that he appeared in his guided tour through heaven was the throne room. Because that's where all things began. That's where your calling comes from. That's where the decree that establishes you in the grace of God comes from. And if you don't understand that it proceeds from a throne, then you don't know how God runs his kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, many people are just opening two scriptures and preaching. One or two scriptures, and then they try to make sense of it. Meanwhile, you need to know, because I've seen so many people trying so hard to preach motivational sermons from the Bible. Right? The Bible is not a motivational book. It's a wrong text for motivational messages. It's a kingdom book. Yes, the content of the scripture is about Christ and his kingdom. From Genesis to Revelation, I did a summary of the Bible that captures the idea of God. What the Bible is talking about from the beginning to the end, it's talking about a kingdom. So if you are using a kingdom book, a kingdom manual, as the basis for your motivational preaching, it will not be long, you'll soon be in error, because you are using the wrong text. I don't want to go more than that. It's not just about picking few scriptures. You need to understand what is happening. And your preaching must be in the crucible of what the book stands for. Because there's no other way to understand the role of humankind in the creation of God other than to understand that humankind happens to be a privileged species that God created for kingdom activity. It's only in the kingdom that we can understand purpose. Are you with me? Your purpose is not existing in a vacuum. It is in the context of a king's domain. That assignment given to you is what you were designed to do in order to extend the influence of that king within your own scope, your own jurisdiction, your own realm of influence. Hallelujah. Now, so the Bible is not a motivational text. If you want to do motivational messages, there are so many books you can consult. The Bible is not a prosperity text. If you want to use the Bible as a means of preaching prosperity perpetually, it will not be too long before you enter into hell. What you'll be building will be by no means connected to the administration of the kingdom that the book testifies about. Even though in the Bible you are going to find prosperity. If we dissociate that prosperity from the Christ, what you are teaching is providing a platform for Mammon, another spirit. And Mammon will possess the souls of men. They will begin to think according to the wisdom of Mammon. Their thinking will be dissociated from Christ. And if they succeed in implementing what Mammon gave them to think, they will be drawn far away from God. And it is your preaching that opened a portal for Mammon to create a generation that is godless. So a lot of damage can be done using the Bible if it is not in proper context with the spirit of the book. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? Since you are with me, let me go further. The age in which we have come is the kingdom age. That is the emphasis of the spirit that will close the age, the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to all people, and then the end shall come. That's the message that will close the age. The reason why the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom is because he defined it. If he said this gospel and he didn't add of the kingdom, we would have added our own thing there. So he made it so clear. This is a message, the full blown manifestation of the kingdom message that will make every believer aware of what God is doing in the heavenlies and how you are a part of that grand eternal plan. And each and every one of us will begin to function accurately within the scope of our ordination. And the whole world will know about that hidden king that is domiciled in the heavens. After that kind of witness has come to the nations, then and then only can the end of this era come. Do you understand that? Now, so it means that for many generations, they were doing many teachings, many things, saying many things, preaching motivation. You can preaching 10 business plans from John 3:16. They were doing all of them. But during the end of the age, the clarity of the gospel of the kingdom will begin to find expression. Hallelujah. I realize that there is still a meeting I'll be ministering after this one. Because of what I said now, I'm going to focus squarely on the gospel of the kingdom so that you can understand what the Bible is about Hallelujah. I will focus on that. After studying the Bible for about 10 years, I did not know what the Bible was about. But I could preach good sermons, good messages. I mean, as a theologian, as an intelligent theologian. Studying for about 10 years. Then I knew I needed help. And my scope of civilization was limited. And it also meant that God has given what I'm looking for to somebody in the body of Christ. So he's not under any obligation to give me. So I went on a search. And I found some handlers of scripture. It was true. I stayed on their works for 15 years. And they opened my eyes to the Bible. I know you preach something, you say something, you charge on the pulpit. Calm down. Calm down and go and study the Bible. One of the challenges of the church in our time is that the functionaries on the pulpit don't even know the spirit of the book. So a man thinks he is preaching because he brought two scriptures. The scripture, the book is talking about the kingdom. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. At this point, Jesus has finished the work of redemption. And he has come to heaven. He has returned to heaven. What happened was that he was assigned to an office, an administrative office. That's what we call in the New Testament the office of the Christ. It's an administrative office. That is a platform through which mediation is established between us and God. You cannot reach God except you pass through that office. God will not reach you. The Father can't reach you except you pass through that office. The office is an infrastructure that is built to link you up with the realm of God. It's only through that office that such link exists. I don't have time to tell you some of the things that Paul encountered when he went to Arabia for 3.5 years and he saw the visions of heaven. Some of the things he encountered, it took him 17 years before he could communicate it because he was looking for utterance. Have you ever had a dream before you didn't know the meaning? Huh? Has it happened to you? It's also possible for you to have an encounter and you don't have the utterance to communicate it. But that one has not happened to you yet. It's a higher level. You have an encounter. There's no utterance to say it. You need to ask the church to pray for you so that utterance can be given to you. That prayer point, he gave it to the churches for 17 years before utterance came. Hallelujah. If you know you have a call into ministry, be faithful to God. Zero in. That your heart, give it to God. Be sold out to Him. Because the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. It will be very easy to know a man that fears God in the days in which we live by the secrets he carries. You know, in your city, there's so much competition. Everybody is a man of God. So many ministries making no impact. They are just wasting people's time, wasting people's destiny. I challenge you to go deeper. So that you can hear the sound of the chord that is struck accurately. In the name of Jesus. So it was an administrative office he was given. And for your information, if you hear the prophetic story of the fall of Lucifer in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, you will discover that office that he was assigned to was the throne that Lucifer coveted that led to his fall. I don't have time to build that. You know, he said, what did he say? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. And I will what? Exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars there talks about the angelic ranks. I will take my throne. Me myself will exalt it above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's Zion, God's administrative headquarters. He was going to leave his own designation, his own estate. Then he was going to exalt his throne to Zion. He'll be operating from Zion. Meanwhile, that is not his designation. The reason why he failed was because it was not given unto him. Now, there are many of you here that try to be what you are not. It's an error. You will fall. You don't have the authority, you don't have the clearance to operate at that level. If I were fake, you know, I've been talking like this for long. If I were fake, it would have been obvious that I have no stature to back my utterance. How many years have I been talking like this? From 1994 to today, that's how many years? 24 years. Meanwhile, these ones I'm telling you are the ones you can receive. If you ask my wife, she will tell you that one of my greatest fears is that I will die without saying what I've seen. This guy wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God and pitch it in the heart of Zion. It's the same authority he was seeking. That was how he fell. Meanwhile, the person that got that authority did not consider it anything to be equal with God. He didn't consider equality with God anything to cling on to. He was willing. So that he could become heaven's servant in prosecuting a mission that no human being had the qualification to meet according to the claims of divine justice. In this need that heaven had, he had to become man. So he had to suspend his morphe. You know, the Bible says he was in the form of God. The Greek is morphe, structure. There is a structure in which the divine ones exist. He had to let go that structure in order for him to take the morphe of humankind. And when he took the morphe of humankind, the circumstances that were consistent with humanity became his portion. He could be hungry, he could be thirsty, he could want to eat, and he could die. Meanwhile, when he was in the morphe of God, he was omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Can you see that level of sacrifice? If we go deeper to look at the scriptures of redemption, I will show you something you don't care to notice. When Jesus was dying on that cross, he was not sure he would rise up. It was a risk. He was not sure he would rise. Some statements, when you see some statements he made, because he was in the form of man, he did not have that level of super, that level of all-knowingness. The only knowledge he had was the knowledge that the Holy Spirit revealed to him. It was a limited form of information. He took a risk because of it. Hallelujah. So that's what he coveted. It was when he now died, his blood was weighed against the balances to see if the cry of sin was stronger than the cry of that blood. That was why Paul wrote in his book, he said, and the blood of Jesus speaketh better things. It's not just vocabulary, but volume. Hallelujah. So several metrics are in the book of Hebrews about priesthood and some deep kingdom realities. So wherefore God has highly exalted. That was how he got to this place. Huh? And in that scripture in Philippians chapter 2, you'll come to realize that names in the spirit realm is not for nomenclature, not for identification. Because if you enter into the spirit realm, you don't need introduction. You will know everybody. Just like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you have been there a few times, you just know everybody. Even the angels, you know them. Ah, you even know their names. You can discuss. There is an inbuilt discernment system that gives people information, identity. That one is part of the civilization. So names is not for identity, not for nomenclature. Because that is already given. Names is for authority. Giving him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, authority, shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So one of the evidences of the throne that he sat is revealed, is manifested in the authority that his name carries. It's a proof that where he's sitting is an exalted place in the heavens of God. Now, as I was saying, David was talking to, David had a heavenly vision, and he was seeing a heavenly scenario where the Father was communicating with the Son. Verse 2. You know, if you understand verse 1 very well, it's a promise that the Father made to the Son. He says, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That's a promise. Now that you have accomplished redemption, you don't have any other activity to do other than manning the office that is in this throne. So sit there in the administrative position. Based on the advantages you have given to the divine supernatural, it will now become my responsibility, working with wisdom, to ensure that your enemies are brought at your feet. So that's a promise that the Father made to the Son. The next question is, how does the Father intend to fulfill this promise that he has made to the Son? That's verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. It means that the Holy Ghost was going to leave Zion. So the reason the Holy Spirit left heaven was to prove that Christ had already ascended a throne. And that was what was captured in that Acts chapter 2 verse 33 I was trying to read to you. The presence of the Holy Spirit down was a proof that Jesus right now in heaven has been coronated, and he has been saddled with two divine responsibilities and titles. Now, let me take you down so that you can see. It's in Acts chapter 2 verse 36. Can you help me with that? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both one Lord of the universe and the Christos, the administrator of the divine purposes of God. So that's the coronation that took place in heaven, for which the Holy Spirit came down as evidence. Together. So the Holy Spirit came to prove to us that Christ is coronated Lord and Christ. And every activity that the Holy Spirit does is to prove that fact. Because the devil will not acknowledge that he is Lord. The devil will not acknowledge that he is the Christ. So if you can yield to the Holy Ghost through your life, God will manifest and defeat the devil to prove that what? He is both Lord. And so the only way God the Father is going to fulfill his promise is that he released the Holy Spirit from heaven and an era opened up upon the face of the earth. Therefore, the assignment of every Christian, because the Holy Spirit cannot operate alone, he needs partnership with men.
And that's why the next scripture you're going to see in the book of Psalms is, thy people shall be willing. You see, are you with me? The Holy Spirit needs foot soldiers to partner with. And the marching orders, the policy from heaven, is that all the enemies of Christ must be brought at his feet. So there's going to be a partnership between men and the Holy Ghost, to this end, that the enemies will be brought at his feet. Because the Holy Spirit came here actually to make the office, the throne, that Jesus has been assigned to real, practically evident to us and to demons, that this Jesus that was crucified, God has made him. You see, those were offices, those were designations that he assumed upon arrival in heaven when he had fulfilled and satisfied the claims of divine justice. You get it to that point? Good. Now I can tell you what I want to tell you. On the strength of that office that Jesus had been assigned to, he made some statements. One of the statements is in Matthew chapter 28. I can go to my subject. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are you there? And Jesus came and what? Spake. That's your screen. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Are you here? You know, he didn't say this before. He's saying it now. And the reason is because upon assumption into heaven, when he was assigned to this throne at the right hand of God, he was now given powers to operate the office. Are you with me? You know, yesterday we saw how power, the mortal realm releases power in order to reveal the designation and the identities of men to the kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom of power. Are you here? So the way the devil will know about what you are in God's kingdom is by power. That's the first point. Second point is, another function of power is that it is the instrument through which offices in the spirit are operated. It is when Jesus was assigned to that throne that he made this statement, all power is given unto him. Because all power is required for him to operate the office. And it happens to be that we are not of this world. We are of a kingdom that is not of this world. And your calling is a proof that you have been designated to some function in that kingdom. As we will go on in our Bible study, we'll find that out. And you find out the provisions that God has made available in order for you to function effectively as a kingdom agent. And there's no way you can do that without power. Because if God assigns you to an office, he gives you the power to operate it. So Jesus had been given the power to operate the office unto which he was assigned. And the level of power he was given was all power. It means all power is required for him to operate the office of the divine administrator. In fact, the mission of the Holy Ghost is to make that office real. That office is the infrastructure that links. That's why the Holy Spirit is neutral. When Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth will come, he will not speak of himself. The reason why he's neutral is because his coming is to provide the power requirement to make the office real. Because God, by reason of that office, has only one way to meet all of your needs. One. Not two ways, but one. I know you are not seeing that. That's why I need to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You are not seeing it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. This is Paul giving us insight. Hallelujah. Now this water, in the evening, distribute it before I come. When they are praying, do your opening prayer, just distribute the water. Hallelujah. Because in the evening, we are going to be very sensitive. This will distract us. In the evening, if it's possible, just off your phone before you come. Don't off it inside. Right? In the evening. Hallelujah. This is Paul speaking, trying to give us perspective. God will solve all of your problems in only one way. One way and one way only. No other way but one way. The Bible says, of him are ye. That means you are God. Of God are ye in Christ. This Christ Jesus, God has made him wisdom unto us. See, you are not following me. He said, you are of God, but God puts you inside of Christ. Is that true? Of God are you in Christ. Because the only way God will deal with you is in Christ. And this Christ that you are in, God, by an act of his authority, has designed that this Christ will be wisdom unto you. So if you are going to contact wisdom, you contact it from Christ. He said this Christ is righteousness unto you. How many of you have an account with any bank? Do you have an ATM? Zenith Bank is the only bank. Meanwhile, I'm not a marketer. I'm just teaching. All right? Zenith Bank is the only bank that if you insert your ATM, the ATM machine will identify your name and welcome you by your name. Is that true? So Zenith Bank can only identify you, Richard. Even if I give you my ATM card and you use it, it is my name that will appear. It can only recognize you. Heaven will only give audience to Christ. The reason why you are getting audience is because he is in you. It's a Christ in you that is your right standing. And that right standing is the foundation and the platform you need to begin to engage heaven in prayer and intercession. The Bible says, this same Christ, God has made him sanctification unto us. I need to explain that. Because that's the same Greek root word that is used for holiness. Because many of you think you can do something, there's something you can do to make you holy. Maybe if you look a certain way, you have achieved holiness. Now, I'm not an advocate for wrong dressing anyway, but I'm just saying that someone can be moral and not holy. Morality is not the same as holiness. Integrity is not the same as holiness. The word sanctification means something that is separated unto something. And when we say separated unto God, we mean that you can have other functions, like a computer can run many softwares. But the computer that is used for this, your INEC registration, was designed in such a way that the only thing he can do is INEC registration. He cannot browse, can't check your mail. That's a separated computer. You can do many things. You can fornicate, you can stab the devil, you can lie, you can become a medium, you can become an ezemo, you can begin to see, speak for. Yeah, you have many uses. But in sanctification, what happens is that God separates you to himself, and he is the only one that can operate you. So what will come out of you is what God is. Right? Do you realize that when you begin to press into God, when you begin to fast, you begin to pray, what Christ does is that he sucks you into himself. And then he saturates you with himself. In sanctification, God saturates us with himself because he has separated us to him. Do you notice that if you... Are you with me? You're not with me. Are you with me? No, listen. If, as a brother burning for God, you are in a relationship, and then after hot prayers, you know you are full of the Holy Ghost, and this damsel now visits you, you now touch her breast, you will notice something. That fire you contacted, the saturation of Christ in your life will go down. Because in sanctification, what God wants to do is that he wants to fill your vessel. When he fills your vessel, saturates you, you will have power over that anger. You will have power over that lust. You will have power over that urge for fornication when it saturates. So you need to be saturated in order for you to live like a citizen of heaven. So holiness is organic. It's not human. It's not something you achieve by human intelligence. It's something that you achieve by life. Christ being your sanctification. So he keeps sucking you into himself and saturating you with himself. So that every strand of life that you live is an expression of you. And just in case you find out that fornication is difficult to deal with in your life, take fornication to him in prayer and ask him to kill it. You know, he is the one that is our sanctification. So it is his responsibility to ensure that that fornication is killed, if only you can present it to him. He will break the power of that fornication, and he will suck you into himself and saturate you. A day will come in your life when you have opportunities everywhere to fornicate. You will not choose it. Because in saturation, what he did is deep. Even the appetite for it dies when you are saturated. So you are not trying to act nice. Because of the dealings you have had in your most natural state of existence, this is how you are. That's victory. That's how victory comes from the elements of this world. Victory comes because you are saturated with God through separation unto him. You have a challenge with masturbation. Why not take it to him? In fasting and prayer. You will notice at some point you will have power over it. Initially, when masturbation had power over you, you could not even think of challenging it when the urge comes. But when you take it to him, you will now have the ability to say, I know Greek. That ability you have, such that it no longer controls you, you can decide if you want or not, is coming to you because of saturation. And if indeed you want to his power to be broken over your life, you will refuse to choose it. The next time the urge comes, it will be weaker. Next time it comes, it will be weaker. Next time it comes, it will be much weaker until it no longer comes. That's how you get victory. Because Christ is our what? Can you see? Because we are in him,
God the Father, by an act of his authority, put us in him. There is only one way God can solve all your problems, by him. And so if you go through the Old Testament, you are going to see encounters that men had with him. For instance, in Psalm 23, you hear this, the psalmist says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is because he is my shepherd. He's the one leading me. So my lack and my wants are taken care of because I've seen Christ the shepherd. Because I want you to understand that the 1 Corinthians chapter 30 I just read to us is not exhausting. He identifies Christ as our wisdom, as what? Righteousness, as what? Sanctification, as what? Redemption. It's not exhausting. When you go to the Old Testament, you see more. In fact, the entire Bible is the book of Christ. I can show you many metaphors of Christ in the book of more than 1,000 metaphors of Christ in the book of Genesis. The book of Christ. You are not reading the Bible properly if you are not seeing Christ. That's what Jesus said. So the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Have you suffered from fear before? Is it true? Not that one that comes and goes. Some sustained fear. Have you suffered it before? Now, what you need is a revelation of Christ, your light and your salvation. What God does to every man in a certain need is that he reveals more of his son. Because that's the only way God will solve all of your problems. If you have not yet known that this office and this personality is so critical to your life, you will not give attention to it. And it happens to be that God actually built an infrastructure in your heart for this office. In fact, the Holy Spirit is in your heart today as representing Christ. Are you with me? To make the office of the Christ real to you as an individual. And so, are you here? You know, I said that all power was given to him so that he can operate the office. And the Holy Spirit happens to be the power of God. He left Zion to come operate among us, to make that reality that happened in the throne room to be real to us. He's in my heart today, administering and administration, to the end that I can become sensitive to the office of the Christ. Because that's where God meets all my need. Just in case you spoke to God and you received direction, it was Christ, the wisdom of God, that ministered to you. Just in case you prayed and you received power, it was Christ, the power of God, that ministered to you. There is nothing that the Father will do to you and for you that will be outside of that office. And that's one of the revelations that must come to the church in our time. Are you with me? To know how to relate adequately with that office that has been set up in the spirit realm, that is intended to manage your life and your destiny. You know, in the great confession of Peter, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God." The revelation captured his office and his person. Are you with me? And Jesus now said, upon this rock, upon this revelation, that this confession, the church of Jesus will be built on it. How much of the revelation of Christ does the church know? Meanwhile, Jesus says that the signature of his building. Just in case the church is built, it will be because the revelation of Christ is commonplace. And that's part of apostolic business. Is to make the believer to recognize this office so that they can know how to interface with it. That's the only thing that will develop strong men among us. People that are confident of their God. People that know their God and have the capacity thereby to do exploits. So just in case you prayed and you heard God, it was Christ.
that created the facility through which you could interface. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. If not for those my teachers, I wouldn't have seen this. They were the ones that said, young man, that is. You know, I said I studied under them for 15 years. They were the ones that broke the Bible into spare parts. And say, these things are not, they are not in a vacuum. This is like this because of this. This is like this. Oh, then I saw what God was administering. And the moment I could see, my life improved. You know, the Bible says we all, we are beholding as in a glass the glory of God. The extent of access that you have will improve your ministry, improve. Improve your prayer life, improve. So his office is established in our heart, and it's the Holy Spirit that operates it. So that's why the Holy Spirit has to partner with us so that God can fulfill the promise that he has made to his Son in the heavens. Are you there? So when Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, that is the power allocated to him to ensure that he operates the office that he has been assigned. Now, I want to move from that point. But let me touch the practicalities before I move. Because I need to open the book of Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Have you read your Bible in the book of John chapter 17? That he said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Have you read? Now, do you realize that eternal life is qualitative? Yeah, it's qualitative. Part of the qualities of eternal life is a capacity to know God. That they may, what? Is qualitative. You know, okay, let's we can't go beyond that. You are not following, so I'm not helping you. That's not all there is to eternal life. That's not all there is to Zoe. It is the Zoe itself that gives you the ability to know God. So if your pastor is not born again, what is he doing there? You don't know that some pastors are not born again. Alright, there's a prophet in Lagos that said he was born again from his mother's womb. I hope you are aware of that. And there are intellectuals sitting there. But he's not born again. He doesn't have the ability to know God. The fundamentals are not in place. You need to be sure the person you are under is born again. Okay, let's leave that. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you can know God by reason of a component of the divine life that you received. In fact, the book of 1 John chapter 2 calls that component unction. Somebody say unction. Because it says we have received an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. That means embedded in the life of God, embedded in the activities of the Holy Spirit in our heart, is the ability to give us a knowing faculty. There's a knowing faculty. It is through this knowing faculty that we can receive knowings of revelation. Have you ever heard, you know something and you don't know how you know, but you know? That's a knowing of revelation. It comes from this knowing faculty. And it's only through that knowing faculty that we can know God. Now, if you begin to pray in tongues, for instance, are you with me? Oh my. If you begin to pray in tongues, for instance, you must be sensitive to that point where the unction begins to operate. Where the knowing faculty opens. Is one of the qualities of eternal life. It's qualitative. It's everlasting life that is quantitative. But eternal life
is quality. Part of the qualities of eternal life is that it's through that life that we can know God, that we can even know things, that we can know ourselves, that we can, it's the knowing faculty. Another quality that is part of the eternal life is strength, because the Bible speaks about we being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So whenever God is invoking you for His summon, calling you to pray, calling you to intercede, calling you to talk to Him, and maybe there's an impediment, you have gone to work, you work so much, and you are tired, and you just want to lie on your bed. God doesn't need your strength for you to talk to Him. If all He needs is willingness, because in that unction, in that investment of the Spirit, has inherent capacity to build strength. Have you ever been weak before? Then you say, let me pray in tongues just for 5 minutes. And then the program of the weakness was overridden by the strength that came from your Spirit. Oh, you are not with me. Okay, let's see. Now let's go back. Acts, not for today. You can't handle that, so let's leave it. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Then I will go for now. Everything He put it in Christ is in that office that He wants to regulate your life. Meanwhile, we don't know how to deal properly with it. For instance, a man that does not pray regularly and pray for long, that office, he will not be conscious of that office. Do you realize when you speak in tongues that you are not praying to hear? You are actually praying to the person inside here. Oh, you have not realized. Continue. One day you'll find out. You'll find out that you can be speaking in tongues and your mind will still, you can reason properly even though you are speaking in tongues. Because it has nothing to do with your mind. It has everything to do with your heart. So your mind will be inactive. That's true. Your mind, you can still use it for another thing. You can be reading something and praying in tongues because it's coming from your heart. Oh, you have not? Okay. Don't worry, with time you'll find out. Acts chapter 1, as I round up. So Jesus received power to operate the office He was assigned to. And then the same Jesus in the book of Acts chapter 1 now said that you now will receive power. It means that you were assigned to a free role in the kingdom. That is the reason why you cannot operate without power. Now, so Acts chapter 1. As I try to run it. There's no office, no responsibility that is assigned to you in the kingdom that God does not allocate power for you to operate. Nothing. No such office is assigned to you that God doesn't allocate power for you to operate. Now, in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says the former 3 times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after which, through the Holy Ghost, He had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What was the subject of the lecture? Kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will Thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And He said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Listen. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, went into heaven, and was coronated, he applied for 40 days of leave. And it was approved. Then he, in these 40 days, he came back to lecture the apostles about the purpose of his mission. Meanwhile, before he did this, he carried out a spiritual surgery on them. And that surgery is captured in the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 45. Which reads, then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So he did that spiritual work. I don't know how he conducted that surgery, but he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. He did this. And then applied, and heaven approved. Then 40 days were given to him to do a tutorial, a crash program, so that the apostles will understand the purpose of his mission and know how to carry on in his absence. The subject matter of the teaching was things what pertaining to the kingdom of God, not prosperity, not personal breakthrough. It was what? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And it took 40 days. That's the Bible study manual. If there is anything, if God will grant me my petition, I want to get the manual that Jesus used for the 40 days lecture. If heaven. Because I've been wondering, what manual did he use for 40 days to educate these guys about the kingdom? Because in that era, right, the church was about to be born, and these guys were going to be the functionaries that God will be using to extend the frontiers of the kingdom. So they had to know what their mission on earth would be like. They needed to understand the workings of the kingdom of God so that no one will be in doubt as to what the mind of God was. Jesus did this for 40 days. And in verse 5, the only time they were allowed to ask a question, you know, after 40 days of lecture, question time came. See the question that they asked. Verse 5. For John truly baptized. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Will you at this time? Because at this time, Israel was not a self-governing nation. The Romans ruled Israel. So the question they were asking after 40 days of lecture was a political question. Jesus was talking about how the kingdom of God that is in the heavens, how it will be manifested on earth, and how they will manage the expansion of that kingdom, that influence of God on earth. The kingdom of God doesn't need a king. Kai. It doesn't need a physical king to help it expand. Because it's not about the palace of the governor or the palace of the local chief. He conquers the hearts of men and sets up his throne there. And his government begins to increase over that land. In order for God to achieve his eternal purpose, he needs to what? Exercise his authority. Now, see, you might go to town and find somebody, a driver, very vulgar, very, and then God now opens your eyes. Then you now say, ah, he's actually an evangelist. He will never know that except the Holy Ghost is born again and the Holy Ghost reveals it to him. Because in order for the purpose of God to be achieved, God must exercise his authority. And if a man is not born again, God cannot exercise destiny authority over him. So the man has no possibility of becoming what God has ordained. Are you with me? Now, so God conquers hearts. His own style of expansion is different from the campaigns that they are doing now to get votes. Are you here? So they were asking questions about political matters. When will Israel become a self-governing nation? You are talking about the kingdom of God. But Israel is still a slave. That means for 40 days of lecture, these guys did not understand what Jesus was teaching. But Jesus did not say wrong question. Jesus did not rebuke the person that was asking. Jesus further revealed kingdom perspective concerning his question and told him that it is not for you to know. Your question is valid. I see your body. But it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. Now, that statement of Jesus revealed two things. That the Father operates a calendar of visitation held up in his own authority. It's an exclusive responsibility of the Father. So why bother yourself about things that are exclusive authorities of the Father? That's his own portion. But your portion is that you are going to partner with the Holy Spirit to become a witness. And that's a kingdom designation. And because of that, you need power to operate the office of a witness. Can you say that in the kingdom, the only way you can operate a calling, operate an ordination, operate an office, operate a grace, you are given power to operate any assignment that God gives you. Let me ask two questions, then I go. First question, what is the proof that you have received the Holy Ghost? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the proof. First question, no answer. Proof that you have received baptism in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay, stand. Start speaking in tongues. There's nothing wrong with your answer. But your answer is not the answer to my question. No, calm down. Let me see. You are suspecting me. You are suspecting that I called you up to talk so that I will prove that what you are saying is wrong. That's it. I just want you to see something. I want us to move from class 1. Let's go to class 2. You soon see the sincerity of my asking. Once you see it, then I've stopped. In the evening, we'll trust God for healing, miracles, all of that. Listen. Can you show me somewhere where it is written that the evidence, that's in white and black, the evidence that you receive the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues? It's not in the Bible. However, the 5 times where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts of the Apostles, they spoke in tongues. And then your deduction came from the example you saw that these people receive Holy Ghost, they speak. This one received. It's not as if it is written that the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is what? Are you following me? Whereas what you said is correct, and I still teach that.
Eh? But what is written is this. The proof, according to Jesus, the proof that you have received the Holy Spirit is that you have power to witness. Because there are so many people that are speaking in tongues that have no power to prosecute kingdom business. And the reason for which Jesus came for 40 days tutorial was to enlighten them of the kingdom mission, so that each and every one of them will understand the purpose of the power that God is giving them to operate that mission. Are you with me? Now, let me use Paul as an example. Are you here? You know Paul, Jesus encountered him on the way to Damascus. Is it true? He got ferried into Damascus. A brother was doing morning devotion, Ananias, encountered Jesus. Jesus gave him an instruction to go and minister to Paul. In the words of Ananias, when he came to Paul, he said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus, he sent me. I should tell you, pray for you so that you receive your sight. He sent me to reveal to you that you will know his will. That's number one. You will see the righteous one. That's number two. And you will hear words from his mouth. That's number two. Do you realize that after Paul was prayed for, check your Bible, Paul started ministry immediately. Immediately. You expect that he will go to Bible school, go for training, even though I recommend that for you anyway. The guy started ministry immediately. And you know the kind of ministry? A kind of ministry that was opposed to his Bible school training. Because he studied under Gamaliel as a Pharisee. He was an outstanding Pharisee. Very outstanding in the scholars among the Pharisees. Are you with me? And the Pharisees were the guys that never believed in resurrection. And part of Paul's assignment was to preach resurrection, because Christianity would be dead if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Do you still remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? It was a blow on the sect, on the Pharisees. Because he did not just shake and die again. He went back to his family. And Lazarus was a proof that the theological school that produced the Pharisees was wrong. The ideology that formed the foundation of that. So they were looking for him to kill him. Paul now, who was one of them, was going to be preaching resurrection. Paul now, who was by training was designed to be a teacher among the Jews, he was allocated to preach to the Gentiles. That was not his training. But this man, it was obvious that he was competent. He was competent. In fact, he came somewhere and checked that they had shrines everywhere. Saw a shrine to the unknown God. Because if you quote scripture there, they will not accept, because scriptures do not have authority in that place. So when he was given an opportunity to speak, and he spoke in Areopagus. Areopagus was a place where people came to market ideologies and, you understand? If you know about witchcraft and you are proposing witchcraft, they will give you a platform in Areopagus. It was in that marketplace of ideas that Paul stood in mercy. He didn't quote any scripture. He said, when I passed by, I saw that you guys are very superstitious. And I saw a shrine dedicated to the unknown God. It means you don't want to miss any of the gods. It's that God I came to preach to. That is, entered their culture. Brought the things that they believe in their own culture. Quoted their poets. Because their poet says, we are his offspring. Eh? Because that poet is the one that has authority in their own civilization. The Bible doesn't have authority there. As at yet. Do you understand? So it was not quoting Bible. He looked in their environment, did spiritual mapping, brought his observations, was part of his message. Quoted their poet. The poet said, "We are God's offspring." Then he started from there. He now said that you guys are wrong. Because if what this poet said is true, that we are God's offspring, God happens not to dwell in temples made by hands. That means you were not the one that created your father. Eh? The idols that we are worshiping, you were the one that sat down to manufacture it, and then you are saying we are God's offspring. So that cannot be right. Your idol worship is wrong. Do you get that? It's in their own court, he's showing them the illegitimacy of their own system. No man talked like Paul. It was clear that he had power, he had ability from God to prosecute his mission. That power that was seen in him when he entered among the Gentiles, that power, that ability was a proof that he had the Spirit working. Many of you, all you have as proof is that you speak in tongues. Paul had power. So if we check you now, and you say, I'm sent to Yola. If it is true that you are sent to Yola, you have an ability walking through your life that people in Yola must hear you. If that is not the case, you are not sent to Yola. Because just as Paul was sent to the Gentiles, Peter was sent to the Jews. If Peter speaks, the Jews will hear him. Because there was a power at work in his life that was designed for the Jewish population. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Me, I'm sent to the youth. There has been no set of youth in any nation, white or black, that I accosted with the gospel. No, you will hear me. I have a power. And I don't need to meditate on what to say. Paul said the thing works in me mightily. That any time I find myself with the Gentiles, something I can't explain it. Wisdom, dimensions of the grace of God begins to manifest. And this power I'm talking about goes beyond signs and wonders. I'm talking about ability to prosecute your own mission field. Signs and wonders is inclusive, but it is beyond signs and wonders. It goes into revelation, into utterance, into all of the dimensions of equipping required to fully administer the intent of God to your mission field. Today we have a bulk of believers that are powerless. All they do is speak in tongues. There's no power in your vessel that is testifying, breaking out beyond your study. You studied engineering. What you are doing doesn't look like engineering. It's a power. I studied chemistry. See, today I'm still wondering what we're doing with lab coats. Those lab coats those days. Because there was nothing of my ordination that had to do with the lab. I've been to nations. If it's the young population, the wisdom, it will be there. White, black, very white. That's what Jesus gave me. Many of you, if I take you to some nations, what you call the gospel that you preach is not relevant there. Most of our pastors in Nigeria can't preach beyond Africa. Because if you take this thing, like you are preaching breakthrough, that's the message you have. You don't need to preach that in the US. Because their economy is booming. You are talking, you will have a car. They have too many. They're looking for how to send some to Nigeria so that you can buy a second. You have no message. You are totally irrelevant there. Except you go there and you start gathering Yoruba people again. And meanwhile, that's not an international ministry. It's a call to Yoruba people. So even if you go to UK, it's Yoruba people that you gather. Most of the people in Nigeria that say that they have international ministries is not true. We are not relevant to people of other races. We are not. Most of the preachers, there is no power to reach them. There is one guy that is an evangelist. So put him among cultists, smokers, drunkards. Oh, you will notice he has power to reach that audience. That's a proof that he has the Holy Ghost. Because the subject matter, if you check it, the context is kingdom. Kingdom expansion. Kingdom extension. It's in that context that Jesus said you will receive. And many of us would have loved to interpret that scripture. You receive speaking in tongues. That's why I had to do that clarification. Not because what you said was wrong, but it's not written so that the proof that you have received the Holy Ghost. Yes, you received the Holy Ghost. This evening, I'm going to do justice to that perspective. The transition from tongues to power. The average person has, go to the churches in Yola. It's just copy and paste. There's no power, no unique ability in the hearts of men. You know, this one, God gave him it. He just copied. Saying similar things, saying the same things, recycling messages, giving it new titles. We don't have that thing Jesus said we need to have. That's why the kingdom of God is not extending. We're just migrating from one church to the other 1 minute. There's no new grounds broken because no men don't have that power. So I rest my case. I came this morning to tell you that I have gone round and I found out that power Jesus spoke about is cursed. And if we are going to do anything for the kingdom in our time, it will be with the resources that he made available for us to operate offices, to operate responsibilities. So in the evening, we'll see the migration. Holy Ghost investment too. There's a unique ability that the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life is supposed to give you in terms of kingdom expansion. For some, it will be the ability to write. And when you sit down and write, anyone that reads is in trouble. For some, it will be a song. You receive songs, and your own message is in songs. If only you can sing, something will open up. An ability will be made manifest. For some, it will be the ability to make wealth. Because part of that power, one of the tributaries of that power is the ability to make wealth. For thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Because the work of God will have to be sponsored. So God will have to release that tributary on the life of some people. And it may not be consistent with what you have studied. We need power. This is the second reason why we need power. The first reason is so that a bountiful statement can be made to the kingdom of darkness about your identity. That another problem has come. We make those statements by power. Second reason why you need power is because that's the only way you can operate a kingdom office. Embedded in that power is revelational prowess. I don't pray to see angels. I don't pray to see. The power I received, seeing angels, interfacing with them, seeing Jesus is part of it. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus said, you will what? See his will. You will know his will. See the righteous one. Hear words from his mouth. It's still the workings of those endowments that ensure these kind of things happen regularly. Not because I'm spiritual, or more spiritual than you. But those compliments are attributed to the kind of ability I received. And if you don't have the ability that I received, there is no way you can do what I do. If you try to do it, you'll be fake. There'll be no authority to back it up. So we are in the day of fakes, because power is like a scarce commodity. And a pastor went with some people to FM station in a city. Let's withhold the name. And then one of the guys they went with now testified on air that I was crippled before, and the man of God prayed for me. Now I'm using my both feet, and they testified online, on air, and then they invited people to come for the meeting of the man of God. Then 3 weeks later, because one of our person works in that station, the guys now say the God has been dealing with them. Koboko. That all those things they said on air is a lie. Can she help to broadcast on air again that those testimonies were lies? You know that if she does that, because she's a Christian, if she does that, people will no longer have regard for Jesus. So she kept it. She didn't say that. So that the church can be helped. Now, is it that power is so scarce that people go to lie? In Abuja, some people saw strange phone numbers, so they picked. Then they invited them to Millennium Park. That it's just a small business they want to do, just a small business. Some of them will have 50,000, some of them 25,000, some of them 30,000. They will work for 3 days and they will just have this money. And they said, they're interested. What's the business? They said, there's a crusade in town. You will pretend as if you are crippled. Then during the prayer, you stand up and then they will show you how you will walk like this. Then you is stretcher that they will bring you. Stretcher people is 50,000. If you can do stretcher own, they'll bring you. If you can accept to be in the coffin, and then like a dead man, your own is 100,000. They'll bring you inside. Yes. That pastor that does that thing, his name is Miracle. That's his job. That is his job. Any of the people in their clique, if they are doing that thing, they'll just call him. So they'll give him like 1 million. So he goes, scouts for people, different people, and then he runs that thing. Anything that is left is his own. That is his job. My friend was going to Apo, that place that my mechanics are. So one guy now came to him and said, "Are you a pastor?" Look at the boy. The guy went and came. "You be pastor?" See me see wahala. "So I be pastor. What do you have?" He said, "No, my father they do charm for pastors. So I just the market for him." The guy was on marketing. Some people do charm for politicians, some people do charm for armed robbers, but his own, his specialization. Now, the question now is this: what went wrong? That's what happens when people like abilities, but they don't receive power. Let us pray. I want us to pray for the church in our nation. A lot of falsehood is being done in the name of power, because the people of God have decided not to go to God for empowerment, for activation. Can we pray and ask God, have mercy on the church in Nigeria, and raise from among God's true witnesses, kingdom functionaries, men and women, that will stand for your name
instruments that they will use to break the stronghold of unbelief. Instruments that you will use to destroy the stronghold of sin in the lives of men. Ambosele maika kunda salakunde. Babro kobosika menzo sona hantelia. La monse se nahando compresek na halatali. Veroska vina halabranda soko mens gove. La boska freskosa sanahantelia. Muraseli mando compre zavata mino kofraskiso sanantali. Ora masakatalia mahaila konsama ikonehalia. That the Lord will grant mercy, that he might pick from among us functionaries that will stand for his kingdom, to the glory of his name. Losanikambre sosa makalabos. Maiso sela brendo konva salabata iko manzel. Alina subre, alina subre, alina branta da koska zaza ika brande koska vena. Proskeza zika brento malahaila, brakasose maiko sabri, lambroska vase salabo, kova sika brestonke. Escavarato sica branda da bococatia. Elomanda, elomanda, elomanda. Ayacoschele, brazeso zanala. Precote, masico branda. La coma la rusa, macayaco seta ita. Embregete na zabra, acatala babonte. Mansosaya, hico branda, cuta malato. Oquesco sela, brida, ampola, ama. We ask that you have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O God. Have mercy upon us, O God.
Lift up our voices and pray.